You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We love you, Jesus. Oh, how we want to be near you.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us for Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church, located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The sermon you'll hear today was recorded during one of our Sunday morning services. As you listen, if you have questions about the sermon, text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. This is message number 3 in a series titled The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. We have been focusing on Amendment 4, which will remove all protections for the unborn and their families, enshrining abortion up to birth as a right. Some may say this is a political fight and the church should not be involved, but the death of the innocent and the harming of mothers and fathers is a moral issue. It is an issue of truths versus lies. It is one of good versus evil. Join us now for this message from our pastor, Sam Chess.
However, another subject today, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, number three, there will be a 4 and there will be a 5. That's it. 5 and done. I set out 3 weeks ago to expose, and these are tough messages, I get that, but I've got new stuff to say today, stuff literally you've never heard in your life before, because I hadn't heard it before this week. Expose the evils behind Amendment 4, the abortion amendment that's here in our state right now. This series has grown into something much larger. I have 2 things to share with you today that are literally so new that the ink is still drying. I mean, seriously, so new the ink is still drying on the page. Literally just hours old information. We'll see if I can get to both of those today. Certainly at least one. I may keep the other one for a secret. Amendment 4 is going to show up on your ballot November 5th. In 71 days, you are going to be called on to vote on an abortion amendment. Here's the title of it. Here's what's going to show up when you look at your ballot. Here's what you're going to see. Amendment to Limit Government Interference with Abortion. That title is 100% an attempt to trick the people of Florida into believing it's something other than what is true. Most of us want less government interference, do we not? Man, yeah. Often our massively bloated government promises to help us ends up making our lives far more complicated, far more restrictive, and far, far more expensive. Have you noticed that too? So who doesn't want less of that, except it's a lie? Here, it's a lie. When Penny asked me for the title to this series 3 weeks ago, I sensed God said the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Not quite realizing when I said that, how all of that in relation to what I'm discovering about Amendment 4 and the people behind it, and I'm going to share some of that here with you today, how all of that would fit together. She came up with this beautiful thing that's on the front of your bulletin, this graphic, and that stimulated me then to ask. I'm looking at that, and I'm asking the question, well, then what exactly does the Bible say about truth and about lies? I don't think I've ever pursued that before in my life. What does it say? So I set out this week to pull every single reference in the Bible out that uses the word truth, and I came out with 25 pages, single-spaced pages of verses in the Bible that talk about truth and, of course, reversely talk about lies. That's huge, by the way. I do this occasionally on major doctrines, and sometimes I get 12 pages, sometimes 15 pages. That's a lot of space in the Bible to give to any one thing. But in this case, I honed it all down. I picked only the scriptures that talk about how humans' relationship with God and how this subject of truth fits in. 14 pages, single space, 14 pages of scriptures that deal with what God thinks about truth and how strongly he hates lies. How strongly he hates lies. And how much he rejects those who purposely promote them. So let me give you that in a nutshell. Can I do that? For the first 6 minutes here, don't time me. For the first 6 minutes here, let's talk about what the Bible says about God in truth, you in truth, people who lie, the author of lies. Let's do that, shall we? So let me do that in a quick, short of a way here. Here we are on the screen. God is a God of truth. He doesn't just know truth. He is truth. He is the source of truth. And David himself said in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28, "You are God, O sovereign Lord. Your words are truth." And that is the Hebrew word amen, which we use in English as, that's not hard, amen. Do you remember when we were studying Ezra and Nehemiah, and after they built the walls, they're up there reading scripture, and the people are shouting, amen, amen. They're shouting faithful faith. They're shouting truth, truth. That's the word. That's what it means, truth. It is truth. God cannot not be faithful. God is a God of truth. Number two, part two, and I'm going to make these available to you. I'll let you download them at some point in your life, probably over the course of this next week. Number two, part two, those who choose to follow the Lord God of truth become known as truthful people. One can't live a lying life and be said to be following the God of truth. God is truth, and when he begins to saturate our lives, we become people of truth. That's a universal principle. When we're first saved, we may struggle a bit with truth, telling the truth on a consistent basis, but we've been Christians 20 years, and we find ourselves still lying all the time. Somehow the train is not on the tracks. I'm just saying. Moving on. But this reaches a climax when Jesus is promising the arrival of the Holy Spirit. This is very specific. Can't get more specific than this. John 15, 26, "I will send you the advocate, the paraclete, the helper, the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside." And he calls him the Spirit of Truth. Isn't that interesting? Because in the Old Testament, God is called the God of Truth. Jesus in the Gospels, "I am the way, the truth, the life." The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. Has a familiar ring, yes? "He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me." 16, 13 of John, "When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into" how much? "All truth. He will speak not on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." By the way, when Jesus started preaching, 66 times, he says, I counted them, Old King James, we used to read it as kids, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Remember that? He says it 66 times. He's using the Greek word. Now in the New Testament, he's using the Greek word, amen. Got amen in the Old Testament, means faithful or true. Got amen in the New Testament. When Jesus starts speaking 66 times, he says, amen, amen, truth, truth, I'm telling you the truth. And then he goes on with what he's gonna say. Why did he do that? Why? Is he saying, you gotta believe me. I promise you what I'm getting ready to tell you is not false. No, no, he's not. He's purposely linking himself back to the amen of the Old Testament. God is truth. I am the truth here on earth. I am God. People who become true Jesus followers become people of truth. That's what he's saying. And then God very strongly in Scripture, and I'm really kind of stunned by this. I'll show you more about this on Wednesday night, draws a line in the sand between here's truth, here's God, here's Jesus, here's the Holy Spirit, here's truth, here's people of truth, draws a line in the sand and said, now here's the liars. Here's lying. Here's what it means to be untruthful. And I'm gonna apply this to Amendment 4 because of the fact that it is one great big fat lie. I'm gonna show you Romans 1 next week, not this week, where God literally gives a sequence of events that he says, these are the events that will happen. This is how it will unfold when people suppress the truth, when people purposely suppress the truth, which is what we are seeing, and I'll show you in a minute on Amendment 4. We get, though, a very vivid picture when Jesus takes on the Pharisees, and he did it often, but when he really takes on the Pharisees, he does it in John chapter 8. I mean, you could, literally, anybody that believes Jesus was this mild-natured Savior who was tolerant of everybody's views, no matter what they were, no matter how much they differed from Scripture, hasn't read the Bible. John 8's a classic. It's right from the mouth of Jesus. It's a long passage where Jesus is right in the face of the Pharisees. And it's long. You can literally see the veins on the Pharisees' necks throbbing because nobody challenged them like this. Nobody challenged the Pharisees, period, except Jesus. And he did it rather often. It's long, so let me just give you some excerpts. We'll put it on the screen. John 8:26, "I have much to say about you and much to condemn. That's an interesting statement, isn't it, when he's talking to the Pharisees. But I won't. Not now. For I say only what I have heard from the one who sent me, and he is completely truthful. The Father is completely truthful. Verse 32, famous sentence, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. 34, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. That's amen, 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 amen. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Verse 40, instead you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. And then he comes to this. Remember, he's talking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day and the political leaders of the day. 44, you are the children of your father, the devil. Imagine telling that to the religious leaders of the day. You love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. And that's not actually in the Bible, Amendment 4. I added that right there. You're a murderer. Satan's a murderer. Amendment 4. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. And again, you see the words Amendment 4. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus is telling the Pharisees, you're the children of your father, and your father's a liar, and your father's a murderer. And I say that as kindly as I know how, Jesus said. He was blunt, he was unbelievably blunt. 45, so when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. You believe a lie. You won't believe what I have to say that is obviously the truth. 46, which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? And since I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? If I'm telling you the truth, why are you locked into a lie? I tell you the truth, amen, amen. 51, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. 58, Jesus answered, amen, amen, I tell you the truth, before Abraham ever was, I am. I am. That's the truth. Jesus said, that's the truth. I will not tolerate lies. Now, with just those few verses out of 14 pages of Scripture as your biblical ammunition, let's go back to Amendment 4. Picture a group of men and women in a room whose sole desire was to make all abortion legal clear up to the day of birth with no restrictions, sitting in a smoke-filled room. I don't know that they were smoking, but that's always how we picture people who are in evil meetings. We know exactly who was in that meeting. Several of us this week attended a briefing in Orlando with influential attorneys Matt Staver and John Stenberger, Christian attorneys, and with Eric Dellenbach, he governor's executive liaison for faith and community. Briefing. We now know who was in that room. We know exactly who was in the room to prepare what you're getting ready to face on your ballot. There were representatives of the ACLU, the George Soros Open Society Fund, and of course, Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is now the largest facilitator of abortion in the entire world. When I was in Africa, Jim McKeegan and I were in Africa, riding in a van up a dusty road, Ghana, West Africa. And we come to this little town right in the center of the country. And the people are living in thatched huts. I mean, we're literally talking about mud huts with thatched roofs. And there's this big building at the city square. And across the building is, in large letters, Planned Parenthood, biggest building in the town. Why? Why? Was it there for public health reasons? Or was it there to stop population growth? The first one is what they advertised. The second one was the truth. We know exactly how much money they put up that day, $15 million, to hire an army of young people that would cover this state and get 1 million signatures, using the deceptive language they have been taught to tell people. Maybe you were approached. Certainly some of you told me you heard them talking. And it worked. It worked. Hundreds of millions more dollars have rolled in to see their evil conclusion come to an end. And I'm purposely using the word evil because that's exactly what the Bible said about human beings who base something on a lie. Whenever we put a lie forefront to get people to believe something that is not true, the Bible says that's evil. And in this case, and murder, evil and murder. We can actually fill in some of the words that were said in the room that day. Words like this, and I don't know them exactly, but we know because we see the result. We're going to use words like limit government interference because we know words like remove all abortion restrictions will never fly in Florida. None of us would ever pay attention if that's what it said. So instead it says, limit government interference. Now imagine the minds of the people in that room. This just boggles my mind. As they carefully crafted a 26-word undefined amendment, 26 words, to completely eliminate all abortion restrictions right up until the day of birth. You have another amendment on your ballot, by the way. It's the marijuana amendment. Amendment number three, if you read what people are saying about Amendment number three, the legalization of recreational marijuana will basically put the drug cartels out of business. This is what it sounds like when you read on it. All the drugs are going to be off our streets if you'll legalize marijuana. And all the policemen are going to be sitting in donut shops. Sorry, policemen. Because they'll have nothing to do if just you'll legalize. See, you see what I mean? We craft these things as lies. But if we're not careful, the mass public looks at them and says, that actually sounds. Imagine the person who said 8 months ago, my goal this summer and my goal this fall is to make sure that every woman and young girl in the state of Florida has the right under the law to get rid of the child in her womb completely up until the day of birth. And you need to listen to me when I tell you that is exactly, there is zero possibility that that's not exactly what this amendment is saying. John Stemberger, who really is a brilliant attorney, he's the one that won the Terri Schiavo case. Remember the Terri Schiavo case? It was a big deal here. He is one who sat with the last five Supreme Court justices that were chosen by Governor DeSantis. He's the guy who vetted them for the governor. He's smart. But he says the new opening in the law here would allow for the baby to be terminated in the birth canal and even after leaving the womb before the baby takes its first breath. And the vast majority of people in this state are completely unaware of what they're getting ready to vote on. Many will think they're voting to limit government because they've been fed a carefully crafted lie. I've known Stemberger a long time, watched him in action in Tallahassee, here behind this pulpit, been here in this room. But I watched him the other day with just this deep emotion, unlike Stemberger, a deep emotion. And he said, of all the issues I've ever dealt with in my life, and he's done a number of high-profile cases in this state, of all the issues I've ever had to deal with in my life, this is the most important thing I've ever dealt with in my whole career. He said, this is for, in his quote, this is for all the marbles. This is it. It's that big. And if you never played marbles as a kid or had, well, I did, by the way, and played them and was really quite good. Nothing is more important than this. Nothing is more important than this. Matt Staver estimates this could involve 40,000 babies a year in our state. 40,000 babies. Eric, a pastor, a liaison for the governor, he said, we could go from one of the most pro-life vacation destinations in the nation to one of the most radical pro-abortion vacation destinations in one day's time. Our state could be changed that much in one day. And he said, because this is a constitutional amendment, it overrides every law that exists. No law can be passed that will ever change it. It's the will of the people. Because of that, he says, the governor's office is believing that if this thing passes, it will be the law in Florida for our lifetime. It will never change. This will be our new normal. It could be starting on November 6th. Now, my wife Sue and I explained in two previous sermons here, this is number three, the parts of the amendment that remove the need for two physicians to sign off on a late-term abortion. And here it is. I want to read this again. I think it's just so important. You say, I've already heard this twice, Sam. Yeah, you need to hear it one more time because this is critical, and I'll explain why in just a second. It removes the existing state statute 390.01112 requiring two licensed physicians to sign off on a late-term abortion to certify in writing that in reasonable medical judgment, the termination of the pregnancy is necessary to save the pregnant woman's life or avert a serious risk of substantial and irreversible physical impairment. Replacing it with this phrase, that all goes away. And the new phrase is, protect the patient's health. Or, there's an or there, or to protect the patient's health, whatever in the world that means. As decided by the patient's health care provider. Doesn't have to be a doctor anymore. The list, 46 things on the list, everything that falls under chapters 457 to 491, including, it's on the screen, chiropractors, athletic trainers, massage therapists, pharmacy managers. I was reading people on the other side of this issue this week, and it's shocking. It's shocking for me to see them trying to say, and I'm putting this in my own words. Finally, we're going to be able to throw off the government's interference that forces us to involve an actual doctor in whether or not a woman's life is in danger. Finally, we can put these decisions in the hands of where they belong, like audiologists, dental hygienists, hearing aid specialists, physical therapy assistants. Sam, you're stretching this. No, I'm not. I'm reading right off the list of licensed healthcare providers given to us this Tuesday morning by attorneys. This is it. This is what your state says a healthcare provider is. And my wife Sue and I explained in two previous sermons part of the amendment that removes the need for parental consent for a minor to have an abortion. Parental consent for a minor to have an abortion and replaces it with parental notification. Instead of a 48-hour notarized paper that the parent signs to let their child have an abortion, it now turns into a text or an email to the parent just simply saying, your daughter had an abortion. In fact, John Stenberger says, the law will actually allow them to contact a parent after the abortion. Can you imagine getting a text like that? Can you imagine being a mother and getting a text like that? Your 14-year-old daughter just had an abortion. And if you've been here for all three of these messages so far, I'm not apologizing for giving the three parts of this over and over. I want them to so stick in your mind that you can repeat them to your neighbor and friends at a moment's notice. We've got to get this so good that it just pops into our mind. We'll put them up here. I've shortened them up. No more restriction on abortion until the day of birth. No more parental consent, just notification. No more need of an actual physician. That's it. That's what's going to dramatically change here in 71 days unless we get this word out really, really strongly. No more, let's say them, no more restriction on abortion until the day of birth. No more parental consent, just notification. No more need for an actual physician. We can learn those, can we not? And I put a fourth in there, no possibility of ever overturning it because it's a constitutional amendment, it's the will of the people.
We pause briefly to welcome those just joining us. You're listening to Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. This is the third message in a series titled The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. Throughout history, when the church stood against evil and for good, all of culture benefited. This is such a time. God's people must stand for life and truth. If you have questions about the message or you'd like us to pray with you, text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send comments, questions, or prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from our pastor, Sam Chess.
A lot of you are already heading out with these cards. That's just one of them. There's the other. We gave these, just one of these in your bulletin last week. We have 5,000 of them now here. Many of you have gone out this week. You're telling me, I'm going to the mall. I'm going to people and I'm asking them and nobody knows anything about this. And I'm explaining it because finally you've given me a tool that lets me explain it. And then from the governor's office, this second one right here, it's just absolutely wonderful. This is new. This is different. You haven't seen this before. But we have 1,500 of these that are now available for you. Remember, what you're trying to tell them, no restrictions on abortion, no parental consent, no physician. 5,000 of these, you can take as many as you'll use. Please don't take these and set them somewhere. But if you're willing to take these and you're willing to talk to people, these are by the Roman Catholics, who, by the way, are really pumped on this. I mean, they're taking this thing very seriously. at least on a leadership level. The governor's office is taking this very seriously. They are printing 8 million yard signs right now, 8 million. And we will make available to you absolutely anything that we possibly can. And when I say you, I'm talking to those who are listening on the radio to this program. We're already on WCNO four times a week. So this will play four times automatically. This message will play there too. But now Jonathan McLean, the general manager of WCNO, 100,000 watt station. It's a huge station. It reaches from almost North Miami to almost Orlando now, Bahamas, almost across the state. And he's going to start playing these messages right here every Tuesday and every Thursday morning at drive time, and every Tuesday and every Thursday evening at drive time, right up until the day of election. Because the point is to try to get the greatest number of people to get this information, which they just don't have. They don't know. Some Christians will walk in and vote yes. And they'll be voting for abortion right up until the day of birth. I mentioned that last week. You guys have been pouring resources in. It's just amazing. You poured resources in for the radio. Other people said, I'm going to pay for signs. I mean, it's just amazing what you're doing. You saw the sign out front and around at the Hispanic church. We're putting them in churches all over the place. Kenny Muscanera, bless his heart, he's trying to run a business, and yet he's out doing all this at the same time, so God bless him. But here's the rest of this. I have to swivel. The disheartening thing is that we heard more than once this week churches saying to us, we don't want to be part of that. We stay out of politics altogether. Imagine. More than once this week, people from this church said to people from other churches, this is not politics. This is not political. This is moral. This is biblical. This is a spiritual war for the soul of our state between good and evil. This is a war for the souls of young families and the children sitting in your churches. This is the most important thing you've seen in a long time. And if John Stenberger or Matt Staver were standing up here right now, they would say, probably with tears in their eyes, there's no more important thing on your church calendar for the next 71 days than this. This is critical to the future of our state. If this passes, every church will be deeply affected for generations to come. Every pastor will have to deal with the unspeakable heartache. Watch. That we could have avoided if we had grabbed our spiritual armor and used it offensively against the evil one. I have been very careful over the last 47 years. That's how long I've actually pastored. And I started when I was one. But I've been very careful not to use the term prophetic in relation to me, because I've seen a lot of my friends and others attach that phrase to themselves and to other people, and then out of them comes some very earthy human things. But I need to say about that statement, that's a prophetic statement. I believe it is straight from God, and I can't not say it. If this passes, every church will be deeply affected for generations to come. Every pastor will have to deal with the unspeakable heartache that if we could have avoided this, if we had grabbed our spiritual armor and used it offensively against the evil one. So many people have come to believe that the armor of God is just for defense. We cower in the corner from the enemy of our souls and hope like crazy we can use the armor of God to stave off the fiery darts of the devil. Where in the world did that mindset come from? The armor of God is given to us so that we can use it for defense, of course, but also so that we can use it for offense, so that we can do some offensive slicing and dicing for the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be Christian warriors. We're supposed to be raising our kids to be Christian warriors. Onward, Christian soldiers. Can I just talk to you from the heart? As if I haven't already been doing so. I mentioned in Sermon 1 how distorted we seem to have become in our understanding of what role we're supposed to be playing in society. What role should the church be playing in society? What role should we have? And I need to make this case of our biblical role, our historical role as God's followers as it relates to the society around us. And we need to understand this truth as we face increasing persecution, and we are, and we will, by the way. We become so locked in to another lie from Satan that here in the USA, there is supposed to be a wall of separation between the church and the state to protect the state from the church. That is a complete fabrication of the truth. That's an absolutely false statement, again, foisted on God's church by unscrupulous, evil people. And sadly, many churches have swallowed that 180-degree lie, hook, line, and sinker. There is no phrase, wall of separation between church and state, in the U.S. Constitution, in the Declaration of Independence, in the Bill of Rights. It's not there. So where in the world did that familiar phrase come from? It came from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist churches. It's there. I'll show you here in a second. They were so concerned that in England, the churches were controlled by the government. The churches were controlled by the throne. And the pilgrims got on ships and they came over here to be able to worship without interference of the government. That's why they came. That's why they settled this country. Their concern was that a brand new constitution might be misused to let the government again regain control of the churches. And Thomas Jefferson writes them a letter and assures them that's not gonna happen. I promise you, that's not gonna happen. And so he wrote his letter, here it is, at least part of it, on the screen, Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptist, to masseurs, and there's a whole list of people. Watch this. This is part of it. Gentlemen, I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people, which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's the First Amendment. That's the first of 10 things on the Bill of Rights. That's the first words of the First Amendment guaranteeing that, number one, the government will never establish a church. There's never going to be a time in America where we will have a church that is led by the government. Number two, it's telling us that the government will not control churches. The government won't tell you how to worship or where you can worship. And number three, it's saying we won't stop you from worshiping. We won't prohibit the free exercise thereof. The government is not going to involve itself in the life of the people who are worshiping in this country. Thus, Jefferson wrote, thus building a wall of separation between the church and state. Do you see what he's saying? Do you see what Jefferson is saying? Because you have the rights as churches and the government has nothing they can say about it, there is in fact a wall of separation that is automatically built between churches and the state. Adhering to this expression of the supreme will of the nation in behalf of the rights of conscience, I shall see with sincere satisfaction the progress of those sentiments which tend to restore to man all his natural rights, not government rights, natural rights, convinced he has no natural right in opposition to his social duties. And then signed, Jefferson. I'm learning that one too. I'm gonna start signing all my stuff, Sat. Notice, this has absolutely nothing to do with protecting the state from the awful church that might try to invade it. You see that? This has everything to do with protecting the church from the awful state that might try to invade it. Do you see that? That's the whole point of the entire interchange. But do we understand that has been 180 degrees turned around in our nation until the majority of people in this nation believe that somewhere back in the documents of our country, that statement is written in, that the church should stay out of the government and not get involved in anything that has to do with the government. Maybe a lot of you believe that. I don't know. Maybe you've never heard this before. Maybe you that are on the stream, never. Maybe you that are listening to this on the radio, You don't know that. That whole thing is foisted on us. It's a lie. It never was true. Some people are thinking right now, not here, while Christians may have falsely spread their restrictive views in early America, it was the job of the much more enlightened secular people in the last 70 years to wrestle this country away from those sin-preaching, Jesus-lifting, social-serving Christians and rip those awful, constricting Ten Commandments off the walls of schools and force people not to pray in schools or any public places and rip down those offensive crosses on public lands and make sure God is ripped out of party platforms because the faith of Christians should be practiced behind closed doors where it won't negatively affect the rest of society. Shut them in. Lock the door. Make sure their voices aren't heard. Have you heard that in Louisiana, they have approved and now require the Ten Commandments to be put back up in every single school in the state? And it was signed into law by Governor Jeff Landry. They already have crews installing the Ten Commandments in all of their schools. Well, they're going to get every kind of legal challenge thrown at them, Sam. Of course they are. But that's what I mean about taking the sword of the Spirit and mounting an offensive battle. You don't wait for them to come to us. We go to them. We go at Satan. We go at his plan. We don't sit in a corner. We're not going to hide in a corner hoping Satan's fiery darts don't find their way around our protective shield of faith. At some point, we're going to have to take our country back. And I'm not saying that politically. I'm saying that spiritually. Are we willing to ride this country down into moral oblivion, or are we going to fight back? Are we going to fight back? Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA, told a group of us pastors last month down at the Believers Summit, 17 more states are getting ready to file a similar law to put the Ten Commandments back in all of their schools. Can you hear the marching? Can you hear God's army mobilizing? Can you hear it? Did you know that scores of counties across America have voted to make their county motto "In God We Trust"? And they're beginning to paint it on the sides of all of their police cars right now. You know there have been huge legal wins in the area of crosses on public land. And all over America, crosses are now being put back up on public land. Do you know that? Can you hear God's army mobilizing? Can you hear it? Matt Staver said on Tuesday, replace the muzzle with a megaphone. Replace the muzzle with a megaphone. But Sam, we churches live under the Johnson Amendment. No, you don't. That's another lie that's been foisted on the churches. The church has automatic tax exemption under the law. We don't get it from the IRS like other 501c3s like Mission Possible or CareNet. We don't get it that way. We have automatic tax exemption under the law precisely because of the First Amendment. That's why it's true. The IRS can't take our 501c3 status away because they didn't give it to us. Matt Staver, no organized church has ever lost their 501c3 status, and none ever will. It's all built on a lie. But churches have believed it. And they won't even put out a voter guide for fear somehow they're stepping over a line. And they're going to get themselves in great trouble to lose their tax-exempt status. Replace the muzzle with a megaphone. It's time to speak up. I can't get away from the pictures we saw here this summer in our biblical citizenship video class. Here's the very famous picture of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Every member, David Barton took us through all those faces and showed us who they were in that room. 56 delegates of the Continental Congress signed the Declaration of Independence. Others sat in the room, helped do it, but were gone when the signing took place. Think what they were doing. They were taking on the most powerful government with the most powerful army in the world And every one of those men knew they were signing their death warrant when they put their name on the Declaration of Independence. And five of them were captured and tortured to death. 12 of them had their homes burned. You know that half of the people in that room, is that picture still up? Half the people in that room were seminary trained. Most schools of higher learning then were seminaries, but a third of the people you see in that picture were acting pastors who were signing their own probable death warrant with England, signing away the safety of their families, signing away the safety of their church people. You didn't stick your fist in the face of England and get away with it. I've been sticking my nose lately in where some people in this community haven't appreciated, going after the corruption that's been in our county. But what if I signed a public document that meant almost my certain death and opened the door for the arrest and persecution of everybody associated with this church? That's what they did. Those brave people thought it through. You know they did. And I'm sure they discussed it with their families and their church parishioners. They had to have had meetings. Let's talk. And then they went back out, probably pushed by their families and their parishioners. They went back out and go sign that paper regardless of the consequences. And they did. And to those who say, we dare not get involved with government, I say to you, the reason we have a constitution and a country is precisely because our founding fathers and mothers did get involved with the government. If those giants we're following believed what we some say they now believe, we wouldn't have what we now have. There wouldn't be a USA. Reverend Jonas Clark, the most influential pastor in New England in the 1770s, preached a famous message in his church in Lexington, Massachusetts, about the disintegration of the relationship between England and the U.S., and he took it all on. I mean, he was just in the face of England. So why would a pastor get involved in the affairs of the government? Why would he do that? Why shouldn't he have kept his mouth shut and his attention on preaching the Bible and saving people's souls? Do you know that John Hancock and Samuel Adams were at his house on April 18, 1775, when Paul Revere made his famous midnight ride to alert people that they needed to run or they would be caught by the British and killed? John Hancock and Sam Adams turned to their buddy, Pastor Jonas Clark, and asked if he and the people of Lexington were willing to fight. And the following morning, 70 men from the Lexington Church of Christ, led by the head deacon, John Parker, at the tolling of the church bell, 70 people from that church faced off with 700 British soldiers. And when the famous shot heard round the world, that's where it took place, right there, that day. When that battle was over, 18 Americans were laying on the ground, all members of that church. After the war, Jonas helped write the Massachusetts Constitution, and then he helped form the U.S. Constitution that is our Constitution today. So why in the world would Jonas Clark and many, many, and his parishioners and many, many other pastors in other churches be willing to join in a war to win freedom for America? Why would they do that? Because the battle for them wasn't so much for national freedom, it was for religious freedom. They believed, rightly, that if they lost the battle, England would impose its religious persecution on the whole new land. They didn't lose. And I'm not in any way saying that we need to have a revolution or we need to have a civil war. That curls my hair to hear people say that. But we must use the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation to shut down the plans of the evil one. That's our job. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men and women to do nothing. We do nothing, we'll get exactly what we asked for. Silence is consent. If we choose to do nothing, our lives might be easier. Our children's won't. That's also prophetic. So, Sam, what can I do? Vote. We've been down this trail 2 weeks in a row. Only 50% of Christian people, Bible-believing Christian people, are even registered, and only 50% of them even vote. That's one-fourth of the Christians in this nation, 90 million Christians, one-fourth of them even vote. If just one-fourth more voted, we would change every election. We would have changed the last presidential election. It swiveled on 12,000 votes here, 8,000 votes there. I don't like Harris or Trump. Leave it blank, but don't leave this one blank. You go vote, and don't leave this one blank. If you just go to vote on this one right here, it's a moral issue. And if you're not registered to vote, that lady right there in the whatever color that is that she has on, green, she says green, I say blue. Cass Everett, she's deputized to register you and carry your registry right to the head office. And I ask you to share with five other people. Now you have 5,000 of these, 1,500 of these. You can take as many as you want, but you find somebody and you learn those 3 points. They're on the front, you can't miss them. And share them with as many people as you possibly can until they all begin to understand. If churches all over this, and they're getting ready to, by the way, there's a huge mobilization taking place, huge. I'm promising you, this isn't just our church. There's a huge mobilization taking place. And the sign, you see the sign in our front yard, Kenny put up there. Leanne Mascanera is the one that designed that sign. You see it showing up at the Hispanic church around the corner. You see it showing up on Walton Road. People are asking for these all over the place. If you'd like to be part of that, putting signs up, or help us pay for those signs. The increased radio emphasis. Some of you have already jumped forward. You want a billboard on US 1. And that seems to be in the process of happening, a billboard on US 1. We're 10,000 new eyes a day. We're told 10,000 new eyes a day see a billboard on US 1 right out here. But this is new. This is brand new. The first of two brand new things. I'm not going to get to the second one. It means you got to come back. I got a call from Ed Dackert. That's the guy who has all the billboards on I-95 and the Turnpike. You see the pro-life billboards. That's the ministry that does that. We've been there and talked with them in great detail. And he said to me 3 days ago, Sam, God has laid your name on my heart, and I want to know if you would join me in this. He said there are two brand spanking new, two-sided digital billboards. There they are right there, 35 feet in the air, you see them. That's directly across the street from Universal Studios in Orlando, the back entrance to Universal Studios. Massively traveled road. Out here there are 10,000 homes. It's massive, massive. He said, would you join us? Would you join our ministry? It's both sides. It's brand new digital, both sides of the board. Would you join us, Sam, in putting a board up? Our artwork, by the way, Leanne's artwork. The cost for 4 weeks, $1,000. It's unreal what he's able to do. He said, I'll pay for the other side of the board. For another 4 weeks, $1,000. So for $2,000, we can put our sign on a board in Orlando that will be seen by tens of thousands of people. This thing's growing. And he said, what do you want to do, Sam? And I said, I'll tell you after Sunday. This is Sunday. This is the sign that we would probably put up, designed by Leanne. This sign is designed to do something different. This isn't meant for people sitting in churches. This is meant for that vast grouping of people that don't go to church, but they do not want abortion till the day of birth. And we have to capture them too. And that sign is designed to capture the mind of somebody who isn't completely pro-life, but sure as shooting doesn't want to have babies killed 9 months in. So lots happening, lots to think about. Let's see how you want to be involved. God's growing this thing at a fantastic pace. And I can tell you right now, the governor's office and several key ministries are just getting ready to explode this thing in the next 8 weeks. But we're going to do our part, yes? We're going to do our part. You guys want to be part of that? Yeah. You want to be part, some of you young guys say you want to be part of helping Kenny put up boards. Kenny's going back right now. He'll have a table back there, all kinds of free stuff. You can have it. We got lots more. We got 300 of the yard signs, the red and white yard signs. We got them right here, right now. They've offered us hundreds more. So anyway, Father, you know what you want us to do here. And it is, for me, it's like you've given me this calling. I told somebody the other day, this calling is second only to your calling to me to start this church. That's how strong it is. I can't not do it. And so I am. I'm following your lead. And I have a feeling, in fact, I know for a fact that there are people in this room, there are people on that stream, and there are people on that radio who are going to say, I want to be part two. 8 weeks. I've got 8 weeks, 9 weeks to make this happen by November 5th, literally turning the course of our whole state. And so I'm asking, God, that you call us out in this room. Those who'd like to give money, those who'd like to get personally involved, those who want to go out to all kinds of stores and other churches and hand out literature. Call us with a calling so great that we cannot not do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. Believers in Jesus must stand for truth. They must act in love for those who need it. We invite you to join us for some discussion about the message. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries.
I just kind of want to reiterate here what we're talking about. And if we can just get these things buried in our minds, at least as far as the Amendment 4 part of this goes, number one, no more restriction on abortion until the day of birth. No more restriction on abortion until the day of birth. You will hear people say that's not true. That is exactly what this amendment leads us to. Number two, no more parental consent. That should make parents so angry. The idea that a parent cannot say, I do or don't want my child, my minor child, to have an abortion. Somebody they don't even know is going to make a decision for them and then alert them that we made a decision that your daughter can have an abortion. That should make us all so angry. No more need for an actual physician. And again, that should make us angry too. Why would we have this procedure, which is one of the most dangerous things that can happen to a human being, and somehow or another, we don't need a physician to be involved in it. And these things are so severe, and we should be just standing up yelling, no, no, no. But again, I have churches saying, no, not my, we can't talk about this. This is politics. And again, I would reiterate, this is not political. This is moral. And we keep saying that over and over to people. This is not political. This is moral. People, we really need to be wide awake here with what we're facing in this election. I know we always talk about this election is the most important one that's ever been. But from my perspective, and again, I'll just be a little bit prophetic here. From my perspective, we have never been closer to losing our religious freedom than we are right this moment. If this election goes the wrong direction or goes a direction of those who openly endorse these kind of views, and that's the way it is right now. We're actually looking at people who hold as their views the tenets of Amendment 4. If it goes that direction and the House and the Senate were to go the same direction, we could be just weeks away, months away from the entire nation having this as the law of the land. This is not a time for us to be blind. This is a time for us to be wide awake. So let me just repeat what I said prophetically. If this passes, every church will be deeply affected for generations to come. Every pastor will have to deal with the unspeakable heartache that we could have avoided this if we had grabbed our spiritual armor and used it offensively against evil. And I implore you, if there ever was a time to act, it's now.
This is so pivotal, so important what Pastor Sam's talking about. We're talking about absolute truth versus the lies of the enemy. And Satan is not just a liar, he's the father of all lies. And what we have at stake here is we have a culture who celebrates lies and rejects absolute truth. So here's what's at stake. We have the reality of truth, okay? What God's word clearly says, we see it here in 2 Samuel 22, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. So we have the reality of truth. And then we have the rejection of truth, which many in the world, that's what they're doing. They're rejecting the truth. They're going against God. They're fighting against God, wagging their finger against God. But then third, we have the reign of truth. God's word ultimately rules and reigns. And what we need is we need pastors. We need stalwarts of the faith. We need Christians. We need church members everywhere to shine light in the darkest places, exposing the evil and corruption that it is. We have more power and authority than we think we do. Satan wants us to shut us down and shut us up, and you can't say that, and that's political. That's nonsense. That's malarkey. We are to speak the truth, yes, in love, but we are still ought to speak the truth. God's word says that he will lead us into all truth. So, in this era, in this world that we live in, this age of confusion, culture relativism, we more than ever before need to be heralders of the truth. We need to uphold righteousness from the pulpit and in our everyday lives. There's a lot at stake here. There's a lot at stake. And the truth is that truth isn't just the principles in God's word. Yes, it is. But truth is ultimately a person, the person and work of Jesus Christ. And what we're talking about here is an all-out frontal assault on truth, on Jesus. So we must be heralders of this truth wherever we go. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this reality that you've called us to be heralders of your truth, that we are to be conduits and messengers of this reality. So I pray that we would speak the truth in love, but ultimately we would speak the truth that people will hear, people will receive, and that righteousness will prevail in this land. Revival would come. Stir it among us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening today. We long to equip the believer to stand for life and truth. We long to see those who are not believers come into a relationship with Jesus, who is life and truth. If we can help, please text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reply with a text or phone call. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. Victory as a Christian is only possible when we are connected to other believers. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just west of US 1. For more information, please visit our website. Our pastor has written several books designed to help you grow in your faith. The titles include Unmasking Revelation, Heaven, Spiritual Warfare, Jonah, and Peter. Please go to samchess.com. There you will find a brief overview of each book and a link to Amazon for purchase. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. If you have been harmed by abortion, please contact us so that we can help you find healing. If you are pregnant and in crisis, please contact us and we'll put you in touch with people who can help you. If you wish to stand for life and truth and against Amendment 4, please contact us and we'll provide you with resources. Please visit with us soon.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church. You've been listening to the Grace Alive radio broadcast. You can listen to our program Fridays and Saturdays at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO. Please join us and let us study together.
Pastel Brazil Cafe serves fresh empanadas, salgados, and desserts daily, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Located at 8275 US 1, Port St. Lucie. Available at 954-257-4957.
Hi, my name is Keith Masters, a street witness sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Some of you may know as you listen to this message that my son, who is now 11, is a baseball player and that God has blessed him in this sport. When he hit his first grand slam over the fence at 225 feet, adding to his home runs in the season, I was probably more excited than he was. As it may happen in any sport, in a game recently, my son started limping everywhere he went on the field. At first, I thought it was the new cleats that he was wearing. He's a little stubborn, so I wasn't surprised when he said he's fine and wanted to stay in the game. The next morning, he had a serious limp preparing for school, and I knew it had to be looked at by a